Hi there, and welcome to this episode of the Everyday Millionaire Mindset Matters podcast, where I'm joined by my wife, Olympic mental performance coach, Stephanie Hanlon-Francy. In these episodes, Stephanie and I have a conversation about the different aspects of what we refer to as Mindset Matters, because we believe that for those who are awake, we are living in and through the most impactful time in history. Your view of the world is the filter for how you will experience the evolution and changing dynamics of it. Our intention is to provide you with ideas, nutritious food for thought, and some tools that you can use to help you in being your greatest self and living your best life. Listen in, enjoy. Stephanie, welcome. We're on our way. We got the show going.
Hey, hon.
So, another great show lined up. You ready for this? Hey, how's your week been, by the way?
My week? Oh, so far, so good. I had an amazing weekend. I missed you. You were in Toronto, and I think we all had a kind of a breakthrough week on and a couple of different things. I spent some time with the dogs and with Nina and made some amazing food, and yeah, it was great.
You know, it's in the theme of 2024 of clarity equals velocity. I think the weekend was great in terms of clarity from my perspective anyways. Oh, perspective. I use that word because we're talking already. We're already using it. So clarity equals velocity. You know, was just recently that we came off the think tank weekend and working with a number of couples, and that was really cool. And the reason I said from my perspective was because this show, we're recording it in the evening. So from my perspective is an interesting comment to make because we're recording this and tonight's theme for the show is perception and perspective. And what's the difference and why it's important to have and understand in terms of communication, perception and perspective. So do you want to lead into this one?
Well, I think the reason that this came up is because I've been really digging into perception versus reality, perception and perspective and how we see and view the world as individuals. So this one's been coming for a long time, but I haven't been able to wrap my mind around it, or we haven't been able to really, you know, chat long enough to get a real handle on how we want to present this. So how are we going to unpack this?
Well, it's
so
interesting.
Do I want to lead this? No.
Okay. So let me take it. Oh, okay. I've got this. I'm going to lead it with you. We're going to have this conversation. Here's the challenge. We see it in coaching when we're working with individuals that there is a line between perception and perspective that most people don't understand. So what I want to do, and I think the way to go into this is with first off, let's give it a definition so that we understand perception versus perspective. Then we'll unpack it to say, well, what does that mean in terms of clarity and velocity? And what does that mean in terms of communication, particularly between couples? But it's in relationship period. It's with not just couples or a close relationship. It's a way that you can even actually deal with your team if you're in business, if you're dealing with not just your team, but a member of the team. So let's kind of start there. It's going to speak to a lot of things, but it's going to be fun to unpack this one. You know, when we were just kind of riffing off it, it was also perspective and perception. So that was really interesting. So let's start with a definition, and I made some notes on the definition. So when we talk about perception, we're actually referring to the way our sensory information is interpreted and organized by the brain. It involves how we see, hear, taste, touch, smell the world around us. Again, sensory information. So perception is influenced by different factors such as our sensory abilities, our past experiences, our cultural background, very important, I think, in this conversation, and then emotions and expectations. It's essentially how we interpret the sensory data that we receive from our environment or from the environment. Now, is that pretty clear? So far, so good?
Got it.
Perspective, on the other hand, is referring to an individual's point of view or the way of seeing things. It's a mental framework or lens through which we interpret events, experiences, or information. Our perspective is shaped by various factors, including personal beliefs, values, attitudes, knowledge, cultural background, and experiences. But unlike perception, which focuses more on sensory input, perspective is broader and it encompasses the cognitive and the emotional filters through which we understand the world. So in other words, to bring this all together, perception is about how we interpret sensory information, while perspective is about our individual viewpoints or our ways of understanding and interpreting the world based on our beliefs, experiences, and attitudes, okay? It's all driven by perception, not perspective. You know, then we joked, it's like looking through a microscope versus a telescope, and then you chimed in with versus kaleidoscope, which I thought was pretty funny. So perspective, perception. Now, what does that all mean for us when we drill down on it and get into conversation about it? And how does it affect how we communicate?
Well, I'm thinking more not just communicate, but how do we disagree? How do we argue? How do we get ourselves heard when we're so committed on so many levels to our perception that we can't hear another person's perspective or their perception of their perspective? So my question is, can we have a perception of our perspective or a perspective on our perception? Or do you think that takes a higher level of emotional immaturity?
Well, I think it takes a lot of emotional maturity, to be honest with you, because we buy into our perception, that feeling, which is driven by emotion primarily, versus perspective. And this is where we can maybe break it down. I think a good example would be, why don't we use some of our own example, right? Like something, so let's go back to when we were younger and a young couple. We had just gotten together. We were living together. We were hanging out, talking about marriage and doing all those things. You were working with the Oilers back then. And it was an interesting time because you were working with the Oilers. You were a female in a male world. You were working with young, athletic, rich men who were working with you as a young female skating coach. Now, if my perception was that you were hanging out with these hockey players and they were hitting on you because you were cool and athletic and you could skate and talk hockey.
And good looking.
And shoot a puck.
I was good looking.
And good looking. And shoot a puck. Anyways, if my perception was that was what was happening, that they were actually hitting on you, for example, that would have been a tough go. But because my perception didn't go that direction, my perspective was that you were actually there. They were clients. You were professional. You had created a context for the relationship with those players as they were just clients. So my perspective was that you were there in that capacity as a professional, treating them as clients, building a career, building a business, doing a great job, setting yourself apart from anybody else in the industry by being who you are and doing what you do. So if I had a different perception, there could have been a lot of jealousy. If my perception was you're just going there and hanging out with a bunch of rich hockey players that are good looking and athletic, I could have been really jealous. But that didn't occur for me because that's not how I saw it because of the relationship that we were in. If I would have had that perspective, we would have fought a lot. What's your thoughts?
We would have. And I think what happened is that our relationship was built on trust right from the start. So you trusted that I was there with my own values intact and that I wasn't looking to get laid. I wasn't looking for a boyfriend. I already had one. I had a great guy in you. So I was there truly in my power as a female in a man's world, not trying to be one of the guys, not trying to fit in, not looking for a date. So I think because we had had those conversations over time in how I could scale my business and how I could really learn how to use this experience to move my life forward, I needed to trust that and I needed to trust myself and I needed to trust you that you trusted me. So my perspective and your perspective aligned. So we didn't have any issues with jealousy back then. We didn't have any issues with, we didn't fight. The only thing that we fought was at training camp when sometimes I was so tired, I couldn't take care of myself. I was so exhausted, you know, 16, 17, 18 hour days for 17 days in a row. I was exhausted. So I'd come home. And other than that, that, like, we didn't fight about it, but you found a way to hold space for me that was very, very kind and very respectful. But if we didn't have that level of trust, or I didn't, you and I didn't have that level of self-awareness, as this was something that I was driven to do in terms of building my business, then we probably wouldn't have lasted during those times. Because I do know a lot of women in hockey, female skating coaches and other, that are there to hang with the guys and are there to get a date and are there to build their ego presence in the world. That was never drove me. And that's probably why we were able to really navigate that time, and why I was able to spend 14 years in the NHL, is because I had a strong partner. I had committed to my values, and my perception and your perception of what I was doing created the perspective for us that this was a business.
Well, let's keep unpacking this. And, you know, if you're still listening, then this is such an important conversation, and the differentiation between perception and perspective and what that means in terms of communication, as well as how it affects relationship. Let me unpack a little bit of what you said, because in that conversation, you talked about, you know, long days where you were on the ice early in the morning, you came home late at night, it was, you know, 100 guys at training camp and then 50 guys at training camp and all the things that went and the pressure. And because there was a lot of pressure, I mean, you were a female in a male world. It was, I don't want to say emotionally exhausting, but it was certainly mentally exhausting. You had to be on your game. You're working with young men who want to make the team, who want to be the best. There's a lot of pressure on you to show up, to be great at what you do, to support them in actually doing what you say you're going to do, which is help them skate better and to be the best skater player they can be. Now, here's the thing, is that when you came home at night sometimes, you know, your fundamental, I guess, mantra was, or the way of being was, you showed up, tracksuit on, zipped up to your chin, hair in a ponytail, no makeup, no perfume, boom, you were there. So you would come home. And because, why was that? Because you were making it very clear that you're professional, no perfume, no makeup, you know, your tracksuit zipped up. You know, you came home and I'd give you a hug and it was like, okay, I'm, you know, I'm hugging a 2x4 or something. And I'm having to go, okay, sweetheart, I'm your husband. You're okay. Right? So what does this all mean? You came home tired. Now, if I didn't have capacity and or empathy to understand and a perspective and shared a common perception, which was, okay, she's tired. So here's the thing. If you came home after a long day and you were tired and I said, oh, hey, let's go hang out with some friends. And you're going, nah, I'm really tired. I don't want to really do that. If I'm not aligned with you, I could be taking it personally. I can go, okay, what? You just don't want to have fun with me? You don't want to go hang out with my friends too? Oh, sure, you hang out with the guys all day, but you don't want to come hang out with my friends. That could have been my perspective based on what was going on, which would then cause a disagreement. Because your perspective and your way of looking at it is, I'm tired, I need to rest, I need to look after myself. Now, am I being clear on that, do you think, or have I gone offside? This is a tough conversation.
No, I think that this is important. And I think really based on our think tank couples weekend and other conversations we've had with couples, and this is why I think we have something to offer in this particular conversation, is that how many times, and I knew you also worked hard. You were running a business and going through a lot of stuff, including, you know, breaking up with a partner and, you know, splitting the sheets and splitting the everything was crazy at that time. But the perspective that we had is that training camp was only 17 days, mm-hmm. right? And you trusted the fact that there was going to be a time where you were going to get me back. There was a long-term vision. There was a long-term trust and a commitment that, you know what, you supported what I needed to do in that time. And there was a time if I would have said, you know what, I just need to stay home. And it's not that I don't want to go out and hang out and go for dinner. It's just that I know this is going to have this has an end date. And if we can just get through this, I know that I'm going to do the best job that I can. And then when at the end of this, I'm going to be the best wife ever and I'll be back to it. But we had that dance. We had that flow and that back and forth. And I felt like you supported me. Was it easy? No, because you're right. I did come home like a 2x4. Wade, our wellness coach, actually at one point would give me a massage or try to help me. And he says, oh my gosh, like we need to find the princess under the pucks. Like, where are you, girlfriend? Like, where are you? But I built this wall around me. And that could have been a perception on your standpoint that I didn't love you, or I was shutting down, or I was just this horrible, hard bitch that just, you know, but I had to protect myself. So from a communication standpoint and from a trust and a self-awareness standpoint, I don't know where we had that and how we got that at such a young age and such early time in our relationship. But I think it's really important now, especially with what's going on in 2024 and beyond, where our people are being slammed into having a perception or being fed a perception, and their perspective on life is being shrunk or being minimized. So if we use our own story and say, okay, we weren't perfect and we still worked through our stuff and our shit and all the stuff, you know, everything that was going on back then, but we didn't have to deal with some of the issues that are being imposed on people today. So I think understanding perspective and perception going forward and bringing that into our relationships and really giving people an entry point and maybe some tools to navigate what's going on is really going to be powerful.
You know, I just thought of something as we were working through this. You know, we look at perception is very much more emotional than perspective, which is more intellectual, more mental. I'll use that. I don't want to simplify it too much, but I think it's such an important conversation. But here's where I want to go with this. We had done a couple of think tanks, and we had individuals that were coming to think tank, and then they would go home and they would have these conversations, but they were coming not as couples, but as individuals. So then they were coming home, they were doing this body of work. And so everything about their perception of how they viewed themselves and their perspective was starting to shift and to change. And so when they went home, they were having a difficult time articulating what they had learned and the experience that they had and what they were discovering about themselves. And so when we said, well, we want to do another think tank, what could that look like? How did it end up being pretty much a couples workshop? Was that everybody said, I want to bring my significant other to align in these conversations, because it's really hard to articulate this body of work, this kind of self-discovery, if you will, and understanding values. And really what it was their perspective and the perspective of their significant others, or their perception and perspectives didn't align. Now, it wasn't argumentative. It wasn't a problem. It was like, well, I'm really excited, but I can't align with what you've got going on because I have a totally different perspective. You know, you have shifted and I can't align with that. So the perception and the perspective didn't align. In the maturity of these couples, it was more curiosity as opposed to, well, what are you doing away on these weekends? You're coming back and you're way different. All of a sudden you got a different view of the world. It wasn't that at all. As a matter of fact, they're going, that's really cool. Man, I'd like to learn more about this. And so we ended up having these great conversations with really powerful couples who were very emotionally mature. And I think that's a key part of this, because as couples particularly, but in any relationship, if you don't have that emotional maturity to step back and go, okay, I'm not aligned. Their perception is different than my perspective. And in order to enter this conversation, we have to understand each other and where each is coming from. So can you expand on that? I think I said it the way I wanted to say it. Anything? Oh,
yeah, that's really smart. And the cool thing about the emotional maturity piece of it is that they were all different age groups. There was couples in their late 30s and all the way up until their 60s. And it had nothing to do with age. Emotional maturity and perspective is about doing the work, doing the inner work to increase your A, self-awareness, and B, your perspective, that your perception isn't always somebody else's perception about what's going on. You know, think about family, think about what a woman's going through when she's breastfeeding, or she has three or four kids that are happening, that are needing lunch at the same time as her husband's coming home. Like, there's all these things that are going on in life that provide us our own perception. But what this conversation does, I think, is is invite people to look at and be curious as to how do you share a perspective? It's how do you shift and turn and look at something the same way, whether it's a decision, an argument, a situation, and consider, okay, do we have the same perspective? And if the answer is no, then what is our perception? And our perception based on our history, our values, our experience. You know, you go back to the when I was with the Oilers. Had you had an experience where a woman was cheating on you, you would probably impose that on me and have that assumption, right? So perspective is or perception is also based on historical, sometimes traumas, sometimes. You know, and on the other side, it could be, you know, rose-colored glasses. Well, she would never cheat on me or he would never bend me over in a business deal because, you know, he's a good guy or she's a great gal. So we have these stories based on history that don't align. So the perspective is about zooming out, seeing a bigger picture and maybe drawing information and data from other points. I mean, we could also talk about, you know, in our own personal life is that we had people going through the last 3 years and 4 years of the pandemic who split up because they couldn't align on the perspective of the other person because they were so committed and so all into their perception of what was going on that they fought for that, even to the point of giving up 20 and 25 and 30 year relationships because they couldn't soften their perception and see the other person's perspective.
Okay, so let's just keep going through this. Let's pull on that thread a little bit. So the question is this, does your perception mess with your perspective or can your perspective mess with your perception or is it a combination of both? You get that question? Am I on track with that question?
Yeah, but it's giving me a headache. Say it again.
He's giving me a headache. It's giving me a headache. So it's just that when you think about it, you know, is if we have a perspective on something, does that also drive our perception of something and vice versa? That's the question. I don't know. I have to think about that one a little bit more. It gets a little bit too deep. So, but let's keep working through a couple of examples of that. And I want to go back to this couples thing, but because it seems to be the simplest to go to, right? So let's say one of them is a business person, they walk over and they're talking to somebody of the opposite sex. To them, this is a business deal. Oh, potential client. I'm going to go over, let's say it's a guy goes over, talks to a female and he sees her as a potential client because of who she is in a corporation, whatever the story is. So he's having a conversation with her. Now, his significant other, his wife, looks over, sees that, her perception is, oh, look at him. He's hitting on her. He's flirting with her. And so her perspective, based on her perception, is actually saying, I'm at risk of my husband fooling around. His perspective is really, this is just a client. That's all I got. Now, how do they come together and have a conversation with, this is how I see it. Okay, here's my perception, here's my perspective, and he is on the other side of it going, well, no, here's my perspective. So if we don't come together and have a conversation and adjust to align on perspective, if your perspective is different than the perception and vice versa, they don't align, they're going to collide, they're going to clash, there's going to be a fight.
Right, so think about intention. So for example, let's use that story. Partners, husband, wife, doesn't really matter. They're in the car on the way to this function. He knows that in his mind, it's a networking function. He's going as the spouse or the partner. They walk in. If they don't have a powerful intention, but that this person's working, this person is going to work the room, this person's going to align and connect, and I'm going to do my best. I'm going to have a glass of wine or I'm going to just, you know, be the arm candy or whatever it is. You get to decide. I mean, I don't take that personally. I mean, sometimes you're my arm candy. This is not a gender conversation. So my point is that if you don't align on the intention going in, you will, no shadow of a doubt, is that you're going to impose your values on what you see your partner doing. So you could have the purest intentions, hun, going in, we're going to a networking event, you're going to work the room. And what I've seen it before at RAIN meetings, et cetera, is that you get lineups of women that want to talk to you because you are so great communicating with people about real estate and about coaching and about just really seeing people for who they are. And a lot of women in that regard are there by themselves if they're entrepreneurs or whatever, and they don't get seen by powerful women. If I was insecure in that situation and you're at the party or you're at the RAIN meeting and all this lineup of women are ready to talk to you, I could be super jealous thinking, oh my gosh, he's looking to get laid. He's looking to have an affair. But I don't have that insecurity. To me, we have an agreement that we are both in the same relationship. And when we go to an event or we go to a party and we're networking, and it's because A, we have something very important to bring to the world. And B, if we don't do that and support each other in those things, then how are we going to grow as a couple? So think about the drive home in that original situation. The woman in that, in your story, was getting jealous. The guy's like, I'm just talking to these people to potentially be clients or staff, et cetera. And on the way home, all they do is battle about their perception. And until one of them has the ability to go, you know what? The line I love is seek first to understand, then to be understood. So to look at each other and go, okay, what was your intention? What was your perspective? What was your, because I see that your perception of me talking to these people as you were thinking that I was hitting on them. That in my perspective and my intention is not true. So how do you bring that together? Do you say you're wrong? Your perception is wrong? But if you don't have those seeds planted initially and you don't have that intention and you don't have that emotional immaturity, our default is to go back to our historical, how we were raised, maybe some experiences that weren't so positive, maybe some historical trauma, or maybe, you know, that guy's experience or her experience was her guy was always cheating on her.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes down to intention and communication.
Communication is key in all of this, but I'm hoping that even this conversation, because, you know, think about how challenging it's been for you and I to even kind of describe this, yet we live it and we've coached it, not in this context where we're breaking down perception and perspective. Having said that, when you think about one of my favorite phrases, which I've shared to nauseam, which is when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. But the connection to that is seek first to understand and then to be understood. Because in order to change the way we look at things, we have to step back from it. We have to look at it from the perspective or enter the conversation and understand the perception of the person of how they're viewing it. And if we can't do that, it's always going to be a collision. It's going to end up being an argument or a disagreement if you're trying to force your perspective on somebody else based on their perception. And that's where it gets a little kind of, I hope we're doing a good job of unpacking this, because to me, as much as we've talked about it and we understand it to the degree, I'm finding it quite challenging to explain it. So if you're listening, you know, I hope that you send us a comment, do something, and let us know how this lands for you. But I think understanding perception and perspective is an interesting insight that we can gain in terms of improving communication. It may take the charge off of something when we initially see something a certain way if we step back from it and understand that's our perception and our perspective is based on our perception. So we need to adjust our perception in order to gain perspective, I think, which means communication with the other person.
But how do we do that? Let's just use, you know where I'm going to go, the last 4 years. Like, how devastating when you think about the perception of what mainstream media and what people were trying to impose on society, for example. I don't think it's just Canada. From what I've seen over the last little while, it's the entire world has been given a certain perspective as what they're supposed to believe. So based on your belief system, we have experienced friends and family who have fought so hard for their perceptions based on their perspective of how they were raised to the point where they couldn't come to an agreement on anything because one was so pro this and one was so anti that. And there was no space, there was no room, there was no capacity for the bridge. How do we take this perception and perspective conversation and say, what if we would have known this before? What if we would have known the conversation of perspective versus perception and been able to help certain people and go, you know what? That's your perspective. This is your perception. What is true for you? And what are you hanging on to? What is your BS / your belief system that you're hanging on to so hard that you would be willing to destroy your relationship or walk away from a business because you are now believing one thing and the other person is believing another? So from perspective and perception, where does belief system live?
Well, I think it gets quite complex, and I don't know that I have an answer for that. But when you look at those scenarios that you talk about, at the end of the day, in a couple of cases, they just came to the point of they understood each other's perception and perspective. They agreed to disagree, and that was it. That drove the divisiveness and the polarity. And I think that we have to understand that you can have that alignment and still disagree. You can actually, okay, I understand your perception and your perspective now. Thank you for sharing that with me, and I don't align. And you come to a place where I understand why your perspective is that way. I don't agree. That's not my perspective. And I understand how you got to yours. You understand how I got to mine. We don't align. That's where that polarity and that divisiveness continues to live. So belief system is, you know, based on fear. It's based on culture, environment. How much credibility, you know, do you give the government and the leaders of countries? You know, you have to then embrace that. So if your perception is being driven and your perspective is being driven by a belief system that has been drilled into you as a child growing up, that's just what it's going to be. You know, if, you know, we could use the example, maybe, you know, fear is what protects us. So if we're walking through the grass and we hear a movement, we could say, oh my gosh, my perception, so my fear kicks in, my perspective is that is a lion that's about to eat me. Now, I come in, I have experience. So my perception is, no, that's not a lion at all. I've seen grass move like that before. You know, that's a kitten. I have no worries. My perspective is totally different based on my experience. So I think that when you have that perception based on experience and or what you've been told and what you believe by maybe authorities in your life, could be parents, could be government, could be police, could be whatever the story is, some authority has given you this perspective, you tend to go down that path. Somebody with a different experience, different environment, different upbringing has a different perspective based on their experience. Until you can step back from that and align and kind of come to some understanding of where those perspectives come from, you're going to fight. You're going to collide. They're not going to align. You're not going to agree. I think from my perspective, these are really great tools. And as complicated as it maybe sounds, I have no idea how this is going to land. But I think it's really worth considering that when you aren't aligned with somebody, that you consider that their perspective is being driven by perception. And you on the other side.
Right. So their perspective of what they're bringing, what they're defending, what they're standing for is based on perception.
Yes.
And vice versa. So when we're looking at arguments, we're looking at courageous conversations, we're coaching people through alignment versus agreement, it still has to be grounded in a mutual respect and a mutual love and a mutual understanding of common goals, common vision, common values. I think where some of the breakdown I've seen over the last 3 years, 4 years, is that the perception, if you don't have the maturity to say, can we look at it from another angle? That's perspective. Let's look at this differently. Let's get some input. Let's get some coaching. Let's get somebody from an outside perspective on our perception of what's going on. And to me, if you're committed to the outcome, you're committed to the marriage, to the business, to whatever it is, in a way that you're willing, or what the last 3-4 years has done is shined a light on where perception has become reality. and we've been forced into looking and changing our perception without having a perspective of the outside, about looking at both sides, about critical thinking, about understand cognitive dissonance and distortions. And that all has gotten really squished over the last little while. And what I would like us to consider is to use a term. If you're in an argument with somebody you love and that you're committed to really working through to the outcome, is one of the lines that you've really been, you know, great at teaching me is, I would invite you to consider.
Well, I think there's a, yes, I'd invite you to consider. Now, here's something else that we've talked about many times, and it's a values conversation, and I'm not trying to take this off the rails at all. Because when we often will say, when you're communicating with somebody else, you need to enter the conversation where they are, not where you are. And when you have a different set of values, or when you're in a conversation, if you're in a negotiation, if you're in a conversation with somebody for the first time, you start to unpack and you start to understand through that conversation what their values are. But you also start to understand what their perception is and their perspective. So what's their view of the world? So when you start to use this as a tool of communication with anybody, you can start to understand that as you're listening, entering the conversation where they are, values-based, but also perception and perspective-based, so that you are seeking first to understand. You are, in fact, being curious. You're not trying to force your values, your perception, or your perspective on anybody. So when you get into that discussion, when you can actually hear where that person's coming from, then you can start to enter the conversation where they are, not where you are. And that gives you the upper hand of understanding. I think in any strong conversation, in any negotiation, or in any capacity where you need to communicate, where, for example, if you're a salesperson, can you actually enter the conversation where they are, based on their values, based on their perspective and perception? I think that gives you a, I don't know, I want to call it an upper hand, but I think it just makes you a great leader to be able to have those conversations. So that's how I would kind of come to wind this podcast down.
Oh, that's good. And you know what? As much as this has really stretched my brain, I've really appreciated it, because I think that this conversation is one that will really support whether communication between partners, couples, families, to see each other's perception in a way that it's not personal. It's not an attack against your perception. And if we're just fighting perception, 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 then we don't have the ability to step back and go, I'd invite you to consider. Because as a leader, whether it's in a family or a business, to your point, to enter where they're at. I remember just a quick story. 10, 12, 15 years ago, we were at our store ProSkate in Edmonton, and we had a young guy who was from a family that didn't have a lot of money growing up, and they always had used skates and all this stuff. So every time a client would come into ProSkate, he would try to actually downsell them. And I couldn't figure out what that was about. It's not that we were trying to upsell. I mean, we were selling performance. We weren't really selling skates. We wanted the people to have whatever they wanted at the for the best performance. And I couldn't figure out what he was doing. And I think we talked about it. And I said, you know what I'm thinking is that he never really had the money or the support to buy the best skate for his performance. So he's selling that. He's trying to tell people, you know, you don't have to spend this kind of money on this skate. You could get it cheaper. And I realized that even in a sales capacity, or even in when we're having communication or we're having conversations with people, is that we're still communicating in our own values. So he was communicating in his values, and somebody could have come in, the richest guy in town would come in, and he would downsell them. And the guy's like, why wouldn't you give me the best skate for my ability? Because he was so committed to getting someone a deal that he didn't see that the value was about performance. Mm-hmm. So in a business sense, obviously we had a conflict and he didn't stay very much longer than when we shined the light on that. But ultimately it was a really huge eye-opener for me, is that if I'm only going to communicate with people and give them my perspective in my values, then the relationship can't evolve.
100%. And I think there's a couple things that, you know, in this world that we live in right now, which is so messed up, so confusing, uncertain, divisive, polarizing. It's all of those things. And although we're not seeing it on mainstream media, you don't have to, you'd have to be blind not to see what's going on in the world. And that's fine. The point is this, to something that you've shared many times. We never, ever, 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 ever know what's going on for somebody else. And the important part of that is that we actually have to step back and change the way we look at things, be curious, seek first to understand. And that's hard because we can get emotionally charged quite quickly. We can have the perception and the perspective of somebody's doing something to us when in fact they may be in survival mode, they've got their own stuff going on, you don't know what they're dealing with at home, with family. And so the story is, you know, for me, I guess, is to shift, have some patience, have some understanding, be curious, seek first to understand, and maybe change the way you look at things so that your perspective aligns with the other person's perspective. Therefore, you can start to communicate and be more productive in whatever relationship you're trying to build or improve on. So I think this is pretty good. I like this conversation, a little bit deep sometimes, and I think it's lots of value. It's a good tool. It's a good way of looking at things. That's all I got to say. Stephanie, good job.
Thanks, hon. Last thing, active listening, respect, and empathy. I think that's really how I want to wrap it up. Active listening, empathy, and commit to your outcome. And honestly, I thought that was fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. If you found value in the podcast, please take the time to rate and review and share with others. Share with your friends. As it is my goal to always improve and to provide the highest value for you, the listener, if you have any comments, suggestions, or questions you'd like answered, please email me at ceo@reincanada.com. That's ceo@reincanada.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And until next time, Patrick out.